Welcome back to Rome Boys. On this episode, we're hanging with the Saints again.
Loving it.
St. John Paul II.
JP2.
Yeah.
Boom.
To actually say that, you know, yes. Because like when I became Catholic, he was not a saint and he was alive.
Yeah,
you know, he was a living saint. You know, we had an episode with what was that guy's name? Novikowski.
Uh-huh. Patrick Novikowski.
Who wrote that book on JP2.
Uh-huh.
And having his relationship with Mother Teresa, you
right?
Know, kind of like brothers and sisters. That was pretty cool.
Well, even just saying JP2, I was at World Youth Day twice, and my conversion started basically when I was in sixth grade. And John Paul II, we love you. And like hundreds of thousands of people saying that. So, yeah, it's still part of my heart. And a lot of people he's the best.
Nice. Talk about bringing the world together, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to argue when you see that many people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into it.
The universality of the church. Yeah, right there. Yeah.
Here we go. Here's a little tidbits on JP2. Born in Poland, Karol Józef Wojtyła had lost his mother, father, and older brother before his 21st birthday. Karol's promising academic career was cut short by the outbreak of World War II. No kidding. Mm. While working in a quarry and a chemical factory, he enrolled in an underground seminary in Krakow. Ordained in 1946, he was immediately sent to Rome, where he earned a doctorate in theology. Back in Poland, a short assignment as assistant pastor in a rural parish preceded his very fruitful chaplaincy for university students.
Soon, Father Wojtyła earned a doctorate in philosophy and began teaching. Communist officials allowed Wojtyła to be appointed auxiliary bishop in Krakow in 1958, considering him a relatively harmless intellectual. Bishop Wojtyła attended all four sessions of Vatican II. Appointed as Archbishop of Krakow in 1964, he was named a cardinal 3 years later. Elected pope in October 1978, was the first non-Italian pope in 455 years. In time, he made a pastoral visits to 124 countries. His 1979 visit to Poland encouraged the growth of the Solidarity movement there and the collapse of communism in Central and Eastern Europe 10 years later.
Solidatos.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's Krakow.
Krakow, right? Yes.
Krakow. I thought you were saying crack house.
whoa. Dial back the moxie, sass mouth.
Yeah, not so much. That's a Texas pronunciation, Krakow. I mean,
he was born in a rough place and all.
Krakow.
JP2 began World Youth Day. You know, Tony's, I mean, talk about, a conversion of a lot of people.
Yes.
I mean, I wish that you could statistically.
And how many vocations came from that?
Totally.
Marriages, priests,
Yeah, it's obvious. I mean, probably through the workings of the church and beatifying him and all of this mountain of evidence. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are some.
If anybody is watching this, if you're in charge of World Youth Day, let's have it every year because it just has so much awesome impact. Why do it every few years?
It's not gonna water it down.
Yeah.
you know, he traveled to several countries. You'd mentioned that. And so it wasn't just for World Youth Day, but I mean, the world knew who he was, and I'll talk about that here in a minute, just how much he traveled. But one of the most well-remembered events of JP2's pontificate was his one-on-one conversation in 1983. I was 1 year old. With Mehmet Ali Agca, who had attempted to assassinate him just 2 years earlier. Talk about some humility, right?
Like, and that picture of them in the jail cell and he's forgiving him.
Whew. It's powerful. It's in, you know, the Time book that they created for him. Time magazine did something good. in the last years of his life, he suffered from Parkinson's disease, which if you know about Parkinson's, it's actually a dementia diagnosis. So that's got to be tough. It's one of the toughest diseases, and it obviously has physical ramifications on his body. But until his last days, his hand, you see his hand go up. Oh, it's so powerful, those images. He was forced to cut back on some of his activities, obviously. Pope Benedict XVI beatified JP2, and I feel like I'm not giving him justice when I say that. So, St. John Paul II.
Yeah.
He was beatified in 2011, and Pope Francis canonized him in 2014.
And many of already are calling him the Great. You know, yeah. Like there's even universities named after Pope Saint John Paul II, the Great.
He already has that title.
455 popes later.
Well, years later.
Non-Italian. Years later, mm-hmm. Non-Italian.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big move on the part of the Cardinals to say, let's go for something different. And obviously, it was a great move.
Yeah,
it was a very great move. Yeah. So, what about some miracles? You know, to be a saint, to be declared a saint on Earth here, you have to have some miracles attributed to you, right?
Our past hanging with the saints, you know, it's easy to find miracles because they're saints that lived a long time ago, and there's lots of miracles out there. So, for John Paul II, you know, he's freshly off the list of new saints. And so, we wanted to find ones that...
Saint.
Well, yeah, he's a big saint probably in heaven, but at the same time, we don't know a lot of the miracles. So here's the actual miracles, because lots of times when I was a teacher, my students would ask, well, what were the miracles that made that person a saint? And I'm like, I don't know, because they don't usually publicize it. I'm like, dude, this is the biggest reason why, you know, they're a saint. We know they're a saint. Mm-hmm. So the first miracle attributed to him was the healing of a French nun, Sister Marie, her recovery from Parkinson's disease. After praying for the late Pope's intercession in 2005, had no medical explanation, hence a miracle. Mm. Sister Marie, quote, was working as a nurse in a hospital maternity unit in France when she fell ill in 2001. Diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, she described how her condition worsened dramatically following the death of JP2. Her community began to pray to him for a miracle. Of course, it was the same illness as John Paul II suffered from 1992 on. She explained that she knew she was healed when she was able to hold a pen and write his name on a piece of paper.
Hmm.
I laid on my bed amazed, this is her talking, exactly 2 months have passed since John Paul II died. I awoke amazed at having been able to sleep. I suddenly got out of bed, my body was no longer painful, and inside I was no longer the same. Pope Benedict XVI confirmed that such a dramatic and scientific inexplicable shift in her physical condition was indeed due to the intercession of JP2. Hmm. The case fulfilled the criteria for a miracle. The healing was instant and without scientific explanation and long-lasting. Those three criteria to be an official miracle.
Okay. I did not know that.
I didn't know either until criteria. I had to dig and do your homework to find that stuff. Let's get the...
I think that'd be more out there.
Yes.
Easier to find.
Well, yeah, yeah. The miracles of JP2. Here they are. Right. Yeah. Big articles. Yeah.
Another miracle attributed to, again, a woman who was very, very ill. She's from Costa Rica. I'm going to have to read her name. Flora Beth Mora Diaz from Costa Rica. And she had a brain aneurysm, inoperable brain aneurysm. But to the point that she was paralyzed, laying in bed, couldn't move, do anything like that. And so she had a vision of JP2. He came to her and says, Flora Beth, what are you doing here? why are you laying here?
Yeah.
Go up, get up, go see your husband. And she responded, what'd she say? She just said, go see your husband. And she just said, okay, I'm fine. I feel fine now. I'll get up and go see it. It just so happened that this vision occurred on the same day as his beatification. Yeah, so he came to her and just said, get up. What are you doing there?
Which is interesting. The beatification is the first miracle. Now you already got the second on the same day you could have for the canonization.
Right. So then,
that's how God works, right?
Yeah.
So she got up and saw her husband. And even the neurosurgeon said, there's no way to explain this. It has to be a miracle. Awesome. He believes it to be a miracle.
Wow, awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
So I've got some facts I'm going to share with you. But before that, I'm going to share a personal story that a friend named Anthony Whistler told me that if you look at his Facebook page, it's him kneeling, kissing the ring of Pope John Paul II.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, but right before him in line was his sister, who was barren. She was sterile, couldn't have children. She'd been trying for many years. And she told Pope John Paul II this, and he leaned over and whispered into her ear, "It shall be done." 2 weeks later, she was pregnant.
Wow.
And who knows? I mean, I don't know how long it was before that she had been trying.
Yeah.
But it's just awesome to, you know, hear these things that touch you so close.
He's definitely the patron saint of marriages and families.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was one of his many awesome passions that he touched the church and touched so many lives.
Yeah. And in his, you know, work to promote theology of the body.
Sure.
So he spoke 8 languages fluently.
Yes.
Not to mention he could communicate in several others.
Many.
Wow. Yeah.
It was like the very first event in Assisi where they had a huge gathering for prayer. He could communicate with every single person from all the countries there. At least say, hello, how are you?
Yeah.
Welcome kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He just went from person to person from all the different countries. Who can do that?
Yeah,
he could.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right.
To have the desire to want to. I mean, you want to reach the people.
Intentionality.
Yes, intentionality. he would be considered a polyglot. Mm. So, word of the day.
Wow. Okay. I have to look that up later.
I'm not a smart man.
He's the most traveled pope, which is pretty cool. In terms of mileage, it's enough to go around the world 30 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about racking up some frequent flyer mileage.
Yeah, yeah.
What's in your wallet?
Yeah. I think I sounded country when I said mileage, just for the record there. In 27 years of papal ministry, St. John Paul II wrote 14 encyclicals and 5 books, canonized 482 saints, and beatified 1,338 people.
Whew, busy. Gosh,
yeah.
Talk about busy.
And when they have those ceremonies, it's like, you know, 4 or 5 different saints. I mean, but think about how many ceremonies it was. Man, now, there was times there was hundreds, you know,
at a time.
Yeah, but still, right. Like, yeah.
Wow.
And he was pope for a very long time.
Yeah, one of the most longest reigning pope. Oh, almost one of the top 3, I think.
He was ordained the year I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And when did he?
Yeah.
He passed away in
April 2nd, 2005, the day that my wife and I got married.
Actually,
I just had the correction to my thought. You know, he was one that I saw before I became Catholic in 2008. So that was, you know, right at the changing of him to people getting to know who Benedict was.
Mm-hmm.
And
So
really what I knew coming into the Catholic Church was John Paul II.
Sure,
man.
Right.
I mean, that's just kind of what the church and the people still knew.
He was the poster boy.
Yeah.
And to be alive during the time of a living saint.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him and Mother Teresa. I mean, that's crazy.
When we were in Toronto, and we were all in the reservoir there waiting for the big papal mass, and he came over in his helicopter, the papal helicopter, and flew over us. I'm just like, interiorly, I said to myself, or God said to me, that is a saint. That is the holiest person you will ever see in your whole life.
Whoa.
I'm like, where the heck did that come from? Like,
chills.
You know, it's like, whoa, like, this is sweet.
That's
like, because when I first time World Youth Day, I was in 6th grade, and whatever, you know, here for the girls or whatever else.
Yeah,
but, you know,
right.
For that one, I'm like, dude, like, wow, there he is.
How
and
cool
hanging
is
on every word that he has to say.
Was it a white helicopter?
It was.
Yeah.
It have to be. It have to be white.
Yeah. Yeah, with the Vatican flags on it.
Oh, man, that's so
Air
cool.
Air Force Uno.
There it is.
Well, I mean, he's the one that brought up invented the Pope Mobile.
Yeah.
So, you know. You
Shepherd one. And
instead of the Batmobile.
Relax, everybody. I'm here.
It's the Pope Mobile. Yeah. So you got the, the Shepherd one.
Uh-huh.
The helicopter. The Batcopter.
Yeah.
The Pope Copter.
let me just ask, are there controversial things that people have that maybe John Paul II has said or done?
No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. 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 No.
Not a whole lot. I mean, there's a couple that come to my mind, but that long of a reign of a pope, you hear nothing but positive.
That's
99.9%. I mean, that's a pretty good number considering how long you've been pope.
You know, and I bring the question up because you just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like the body of his work is so positive. I mean,
yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, well, we can just beat up Chris all day long because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner of sinners, right?
Well, even he went to confession so regularly.
Absolutely.
Every day or
every day
week,
or once a week. We've heard both.
Yeah,
but
and we've heard great stories from like Novakowski. Check out that interview.
Yeah.
You know, talking about how he just had so much of a love for the Eucharist that they would purposely on his trips trips throughout the deal, if they had a Eucharistic adoration going on, they would not tell him. They would hide it from him because he would stop and then their schedule would be shot. Because
he knew where Jesus was.
He was staying there for hours. So they like had the door shut. So you can imagine like this big old hotel or whatever, and it's a conference and they got the Eucharistic adoration going on in one of the side rooms or whatever. And he
would know
by it. And he was like, wait a second, Jesus is in there.
Yeah.
And he would just go in there. And then their schedule
delayed
shot.
For 30 minutes.
That's Pope-like right there.
Delayed
for
hours.
But he's the boss.
Yeah,
he's the boss, man.
Boss of bosses.
We schedule him not. You can't hold me down. I know where Jesus is. I'm going to go spend time.
That's but he was in another world. I mean, he went into ecstasy and like was totally absorbed with the love of Christ. I mean,
for sure.
Gosh,
amazing. Love it. It's awesome. Denver? Mm-hmm. World Youth Day?
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Is that your first experience?
That was my first experience, yes. Yeah, yes.
That's cool. Yeah. Where was the first World Youth Day?
Good question. I'm not sure. Yeah. Huh. Oh. Yeah.
Got to figure that out.
Yeah.
That was a good question.
But the Philippines...
If y'all know, leave it in the comments below.
The Philippines was the largest gathering of any amount of people in one space in the history of humanity.
What?
There were so many people there that they have never seen.
In these little old Filipino eyes.
Super Catholic, right? And they're all coming to see JP2.
Yeah, no doubt.
Millions and millions. I mean, like World Youth Day in Denver looked very small.
Wow.
Was it like Father John Father Calloway says all the time, those Filipinos, I mean, they're talking about hardcore Catholics.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if things get rough enough, let's check out the Philippines, guys.
Yeah. Hey, my stepmom, that's where she's from.
Yeah.
And our priest, Father Ariel.
Yep.
From the same place
and
as mom.
The devotion to Our Lady and praying the rosary. I mean, like, it's so part of them, and love of the Eucharist, and this is what John Paul II was known for.
Well, even in Mexico City, you know, they rebuilt the basilica there for the Tilma, for Our Lady of Guadalupe. They rebuilt that whole basilica just for his trip there.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, they rebuilt this all. It's kind of a modernized building, but this huge area outside where you can see in from all different sides because they had...
Right,
God, millions of people there.
Most traveled place in the whole world every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There Mexico he
was.
City.
And he was there and celebrated Mass in there right below the Tilma.
Wow.
And just,
they powerful
had
moment.
All those. And it's a huge area. I was blessed to go there.
Big church.
And just, it's a huge church, huge basilica. But then the outside area behind that.
Sure.
It just goes on and on and on.
Giant.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
huge.
It. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
I love Mexico, really. You know, in Latin America, it's really just
deep, rich history and culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much so.
Costa Rica, you know, we got to go there, experience Mass, and you talked about this saint, you know, or this person that
Was healed.
That was healed
John Paul II. Costa Rica.
St. Louis in New Orleans, you know.
Cathedral.
Yeah, the cathedral there. Pope John Paul II was there.
He visited, sure.
Yeah. It's neat just to kind of know, like, this man touched so many places, and I mean, traveled the world. By mileage, 30 times.
And he hit the United States in all the different spots, a lot of places. Yeah. We are definitely blessed to have seen him as much as we have.
You can tell we're kind of excited about it.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's a saint of our time.
One of my favorite movies by John Voight, John Paul II movie, one of the best. Sit down with your family and watch it. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
One of the best.
Such a great, well-made movie. Mm-hmm. Very, I mean, entertaining. It's not like, oh, it's a religious movie. Mm-hmm. This is going to be...
Well, I mean, it was John Voight, and you're not talking about this low-class...
Yeah,
right.
I'm sorry,
he
don't mean to offend any low-class actors, but I mean, you're talking about a very...
One of the best.
...well-known... Academy acclaimed actors.
Oh, yeah, major. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I'm the guy that'll... I like Man for All Seasons, St. Thomas More, you know.
Old school.
And everybody else, went with the mother-in-law and to her friend's house, and that's what we were going to watch. Everybody but me was asleep in the middle of the day watching this movie. But
it's all right. It's
no,
all right.
JP2,
we'll
that movie's great.
Yeah.
It's really good. But if you guys have comments, it'd be great dialogue.
Yeah, share your stories about how John Paul II has impacted your faith in your life.
You know, it has. So.
Absolutely. If you're alive today, it's been impacted in some way or another by John Paul II. Saint, the great John Paul II.
Amen.
Yep. Poland, too, by the way, just kind of round
Super
out the
Catholic.
Thought. Yep. Like what? What's the stat on it? It's like the most Catholic place in the United States.
Yes,
in the world now.
Most churches have multiple masses like every hour and a half, like all of Sunday, packed churches. Just Catholicism is enriched in the culture and the very people in their blood. It's beautiful.
That's awesome.
And hey, that's where he came from.
Yeah,
and you have to know that he had something to do with keeping, you know, Catholicism alive and just thriving.
Yeah, where it's falling apart on all over the other parts of the world. Where it's falling down.
Right.
And where it's being picked up in other places.
Yeah.
Where one door
always
closes.
Hope. Always hope.
Yeah, there's always a window opening. So,
All right.
Well, thank y'all for joining us for another Hanging with the Saint. Saint John Paul the Great. I'm just going to start calling him that. Saint John Paul the Great.
He is.
Yeah.
Saint John Paul the Second the Great. Pray for us. In the meantime, be real.
Be bold.
Be Catholic.
God bless.